One of the things that you and I must do is we must fight for the presence of God. We've got to fight for the presence of God. Amen? It's our responsibility to fight for God's presence. He fought for your presence. Amen? Praise God. Okay. Galatians chapter 5. Oh, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and in His presence is fullness of
joy.
Galatians chapter 5. Glory to God. Will you die for Him? He's never left you. Glory to God. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Would you read it with me? I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does that say? Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that the main objective of me and you is to walk in the Spirit, right? Oh, hallelujah. And then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish or that you desire. And I've said this before, Satan's doctrine is do as you feel. Whatever feels good, do it. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness. What else? Idolatry, sorcery, which means drugs, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, meaning anything similar or close to it, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So that blows the theology of once saved, always saved. Amen? You can't call out on the name of Jesus and serve the devil and expect to make it home. It just doesn't work that way. Because who you serve when you die is where you go. Ooh. Hallelujah. The demons will either come and get you or the angels will. Now, we just talked about fruits of the flesh. Amen? Anything that's associated with fruits of the flesh is a representation of demonic activity in somebody's life. That means you're being impressed or associated with a spiritual force, which is a demon, a demonic force, which is using your flesh. Okay, let's go on a little bit. In verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In other words, the word Christ means anointed. He's the anointed one and his anointing. That means you're walking in the Spirit, your flesh is being crucified. The desires of your flesh no longer have dominion over you because you're in the Spirit. When you are not in the Spirit, your flesh will always have dominion over you. That's what lets you know whether you're walking in the Spirit or not. Does everybody understand that? Okay. Now, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That doesn't mean that you won't be tempted, but it means you have dominion over it. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become what? Conceited. That means puffed up, prideful. Provoking one another, that means causing a stumbling block to one another. Coarse jesting. Envying one another. Amen? These are areas where it's where God is telling us by His Spirit, look at this is how you're going to check yourself. You're going to check your own fruit. These are fruits, all right? And what we want is we want to get to a place where the fruits are being perfected. And the name of the teaching tonight is Fruits to Perfection. Fruits to Perfection. Oh, Baravagasia. Fruits of the flesh is a representation of worldly lust. Fruits of the Spirit is a representation of Christ or His character forming in you. What we're doing is we're perfecting fruits leading to death to self. If you can't die to yourself, the fruits of the Spirit will not have way. Amen? What we want to do is be sanctified or separated to God. God wants to use us not only to be pleasing to Him, but to rescue souls, doesn't He? Amen? So to walk in the Spirit, you must be filled with the Spirit. In other words, you must not only be filled with the Spirit, but you first must be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Or you walk and have love with knowledge and not with Him personally. You say you love Him, but you don't know Him. There's a difference. There's the difference of walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh with knowledge of the things of the Spirit. Does everybody understand that? Hallelujah. Go to Proverbs 11. Is everybody okay? Are you ready to go forward? Praise God. Something's about to happen. Thank you, Father. Proverbs chapter 11. This is a difference where people who know the Word of God can even give you page numbers, but they can't walk it because they don't know how to walk in the Spirit. There's a difference. Does everybody understand it? See, when you're in the Spirit, old things have passed away and all things becoming new. You're no longer doing the same things you used to do. You don't even have the desires to do them. When you're walking in the Spirit. So we must learn to walk in the Spirit. But first you must be filled and baptized in the Holy Ghost, or you can't. Everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 30. Would you read it with me? The fruit. Hello, is everybody there? Oh, okay. The fruit of the righteous is a what? Tree of life. And he who wins souls is wise. Well, isn't that what we're supposed to do by walking in the Spirit, man? Aren't we supposed to be a witness and testimony? The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you and power. You will become witnesses to me with power. Nobody wants to see a witness with no power. Amen. One of the things you got to have to do is power over your flesh. No power over the flesh. What kind of witness is that? Hi, I'm a Christian. I still smoke cigarettes. I do dope. I do this. I do that. I still fornicate. I still steal and I don't tithe. What kind of Christian are you? You're a dead one. Hello. Don't be offended. Don't be offended. God is just exposing you. Don't worry about it. Amen? Welcome to the house of exposure. Why? Because He wants every part of you. Anything that's holding Him back from you, He's going to cut out. Because He wants all of you. You know why? Because He loves you so much. You think, what kind of love is this? It's love. Unconditional. Or you wouldn't be here tonight. If He didn't love you, He knew what message He was giving tonight. You wouldn't be here tonight. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Let's read verse 30 again. The fruit of the righteous is a what? Tree of life. How many of y'all want to be a tree of life? Praise God, you can. And he who wins souls is wise. How many of y'all want to be wise? Praise God, you need to get in the Spirit then. The tree of life bears fruit of righteousness. The Lord tests the righteous, you know. He tests you. He tests you. Now, to be a tree of life, that means that his countenance is manifesting in you and through you. His presence, his character, his desires are manifesting in you. You no longer want the things of the world. Doesn't mean you won't be tempted with them. It doesn't mean that you won't make a mistake. But you're so quick to repent, you don't get sucked in. Amen? You sever it because you know that you have the sword of the Spirit. There's a difference. Psalm chapter 1. Praise God. Holy Ghost surgery. We all need it. Amen? We all need it. So you think you're doing pretty good now that you're not using drugs and fornicating. It's no longer an outward walk. It's an inward walk now. You know, that's why the devil loves to tell people, man, you know, it was a lot easier when I was out there serving the devil. It's because you were trying to have an outward walk and not an inward walk. Because God's working inside to out. Amen. That's why you know the spirits by their fruit. See, everything we just talked about in Galatians 5 was a representation of associated spirit. Anger, jealousy, rage, hatred, fornication. Those are all associated spirits. They're just using your flesh. It's like putting on a glove. If you were to put a glove over your hand, it would have a different color. But the spirit would still be there, wouldn't it? So you'll know them by their fruit. Psalm chapter 1. Verse 1. Read it with me. Say, blessed. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Hallelujah. That means what you're hearing, if it's ungodly, you're walking in the counsel of a demon. No, those are my thoughts. Who told you that? No, those are my thoughts. No. Who told you that they're your thoughts? Well, I didn't hear any other voice. You never do. You think the devil's going to come to you and say, hello, I'm the devil. And I'm going to do this to you today. No, you only have one speaker in you. You're to discern what's coming through that same voice. There's so many people that believe that they're their own thoughts. Just plumb crazy. But when you're filled, baptized with the Holy Ghost, walking in the Spirit, you know. You know. See, now after you get baptized with the Holy Ghost, you got to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the devil will try and drain you. And if he can empty you, he can put something in you. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. That means the word sin means presence of evil. It means presence of evil. It doesn't mean you've committed it. It means presence of evil. Transgression is where you commit it. So that's why the Lord said, and you will sin in your thoughts. He said anyone who even thinks about fornicating with someone is sin because they've just associated with the presence of evil. And when they do, they touch and agree with them, then it comes to pass. Everybody with me? Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Oh, yes. Grumblers, complainers, gossipers, promoting their own flesh. Hi, my flesh is bigger than yours. It's called worldly counsel, this counsel that we're talking about. Worldly counsel associated with evil presence. This here with this says it sits in a seat of scorn for those who slaughter their own brothers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. In other words, his thoughts he's trying to cause towards the will of God. He shall be like a what? A tree. Hallelujah. Planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruits in its season, and whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall what?
Prosper.
Believe me, there's always prosper walking in the Spirit. You want to prosper in the fruits of the Spirit. It's not just about money. If money's your God, you're in real trouble. If everything you do is for money, that's your God. That's your idol. Why? When are you going to start laboring unto the Lord? Just think about how much money we've given to the devil. And you know what? The people don't realize it. All the money that we bought dope with, booze with, and everything else has promoted death to somebody else. And all of those deaths are on our hands. What do you mean? I didn't kill that person. No, but you associated with it. It's all on our hands. People who voted for Kerry, who promotes abortion, I don't care if they're a believer. Blood is on their hands until they repent. Well, I voted for Kerry. Praise God. Repent. Because what you did is you promoted death to children. Do you understand? This is the difference between walking in the Spirit and walking in the carnal arena. There's a difference as you walk in the Spirit and calling yourself a believer, and walking in the flesh calling yourself a believer. Who's going to believe you? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now when it says, and they will not stand in judgment, it doesn't mean that they won't stand in the final judgment. It means they won't stand in the time of reward. In the time of reward. Oh, hallelujah. Turn to Matthew 7, please. Hallelujah. Everybody's still here. Praise God. Don't take anything personal tonight, okay? Matthew chapter 7. Glory, hallelujah. Verse 15. It says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Now, you got to understand something. The Lord said that in the book of Revelation, that the testimony of Jesus Christ is a spirit of prophecy. All right? So you and I are walking in a prophetic right now. Everything right now is prophetic. So he says, beware of false prophets. Well, you know what? You're walking prophetically. A false prophet is one who's confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but inwardly he's not walking right. That's a false prophet. People think that there's somebody dressed with robes, wool, you know, camel stuff and saying all kinds of stuff, you know, eating locusts and hanging out in trees and stuff like that. But a false prophet is a believer or one who's claiming to believer because he's saying Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, which is anyone in confession of that is walking in the spirit of prophecy. But they come in sheep's clothing, don't they? Amen. But inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their what? Fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. So every manifestation of the flesh is associated with a spirit. You'll know that manifestation of the flesh is known as a fruit. It's associated with some kind of a spirit. Whether it be, woe is me. Do you ever notice someone who mourns, mourns, and mourns? They're so mourned out. I've known some people that are, I mean, they've been mourning for a year. I'm like, what's the matter with you? It's a spirit of heaviness. One of the problems is they're not getting in fellowship. The devil has convinced them to stay alone. And the devil eats him up with mourning to death. It says, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Verse 17, even so every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. So you're going to know what kind of tree you're associated with. The tree is known as the spirit. You're going to know what kind of spirit is by the fruits. You're going to know what spirit you're associated with by the fruits. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is what? Cut down and thrown into the what? Into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall what? Know them. Look at here. Let's go a little bit further while we're here. Hallelujah. The Lord says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoa. Those are those who think they know him. Lord, Lord, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall not enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice what? Lawlessness. That's works of the flesh. Those are people who go around preaching the gospel, and every Friday night they're out on the streets getting high, fornicating. Well, I'll just repent every Monday, but I'll go out Friday night and repent Monday. Oh, no, Sunday morning. No. Those are the ones that the Lord says, those who practice such things will not. Why? Well, you can tell it by their fruit, right? Somebody who's smoking a cigarette, you can tell it by its fruit. It's a spirit of nicotine. Somebody who can't stop eating, a spirit of gluttony. Somebody who sees a girl go by and goes, woohoo, wah-ha-ha-ha, all kinds of stuff. Every time you're driving with them somewhere, they can't keep their eyes off of a girl. He's got a demon of lust. You know? Somebody who can't shut up. They have a hard time listening. You know why? They got a hardened heart. Always trying to convince himself. But. We're not the butt ministry, are we? We're the head, not the tail. Praise God. So you're going to tell the spirit what associated spirit he is by its fruits. Go to John 15, please. Hallelujah. Fruits to perfection. John 15. Just laying the foundation here. We'll get to the real good stuff shortly. Oh, hallelujah. John 15, starting at verse 1. Glory. Everybody there? Would you all read it with me? I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now let me share with you about pruning. Pruning is chastening. Pruning is correction. Pruning is you getting tested and getting put in the fire. So you'd think you're doing pretty good. Man, praise God, the Lord's doing all kinds of stuff with me, this, that, whatever. All of a sudden, it's like, you don't know what just happened. You don't know if you did anything wrong, but you're sure repented in every direction possible because he just lifted his presence from you. And then you're going, oh, Lord, where'd I go? Oh, man, you start repenting in every direction, upside down, inside out, north, south, east, and west. Everything that you can think of, you're repenting. He's saying that's not what the problem is. Sometimes he lifts his presence from us because he wants us to get closer to him. Okay? And there's a time when he begins to prune us because there are things that we have become prideful for, or there's some other issues that we just keep stuffing under the rug that we're not willing to deal with yet. So what he does is he'll give you a rest period of time. Things will be happy, wonderful, praise God. The baby gets fed, the diapers get changed. The little rattle comes around, you know. And toys come and presents come, gifts come, all kinds of stuff. See, I mean, it's like, whoa, this is glory, glory, glory. Get ready, get ready, get ready.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I hope this never ends. Hallelujah, what's going to end? And it's going to start up again. What he's doing is he's exposing you. There may be a wall in your life that you've been trying to go around, dig under, and go over. And he's saying, you got to go through it. There may be something you've picked up and didn't realize. You know? Because they're little flesh creatures that we are. We like to pick up spirits and don't even realize it. Something to fulfill the flesh. Amen? So the Lord will bring you through a time and okay, you're bearing fruit, all right, but he wants you to bear more fruit. More fruit. That's why he wants every part of you, every decision you make, everything involved and everything you're doing, he wants all of you. Every action, every word, everything, he wants all of you. No matter what. And you know when you're not doing something, or you're compromising. Now compromise means put one eye on evil. See, some people walk on both sides of the fence. But you can't serve two masters. You'll eventually hate one. In other words, you'll eventually fall, or you'll eventually get right. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Now, let's go a little bit further. In verse 3, would you read it with me? You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Of its what? Self, self. God does not associate with self. Ooh, self has to do with pride. What's good for me? Amen? He associates with you as his child. Now, abide in me and I in you as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the what? Vine. Neither can you unless you what? Abide in me. So you can't bear no fruit unless you get in. So you got to get in the Spirit to bear fruit. You must abide in him. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. You become fruity. Not granola, not nutty and fruity, but good fruits. Amen? For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are what? Burned. If you abide in me and my what? Words. My words. Now this is very powerful. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Wow. It says abide in him. That means abide in fellowship in the Spirit. In the Spirit. People think that they're getting in the Spirit because they read a word of God. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? The Word is the tutor. The Holy Spirit is the mentor. There's some people, man, there's some people I tell, man, lay that Bible down and go find the Lord. Don't get me wrong. The Bible's true. The Word is awesome and it won't return void. But there's a time when you got to stop having a knowledge relationship and have a personal relationship. That's when fruit starts to bear. But I know the Word. Well, you can't walk it. Because you have no relationship in the Spirit. You have no power. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Now, abide in him in the Spirit. Know him as Father. Father. See, when you're filled and baptized in the Holy Ghost, he becomes dad. He's my dad. He's no longer God. He's dad. It's different. He's my Father. Loves me unconditionally and I love him unconditionally. He becomes my daddy and I become his little boy. See, I still don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. But that's okay. In the meantime, I'm going to be his little boy to the day he takes me home. Do you understand the difference of a spirit and in a natural arena? He's my daddy. And he wants to be your daddy too. Oh, hallelujah. Abide in him in the spirit, know him as Father. Abide in his words. And it's not only the written word. The Lord says man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, that means that you got to listen. You got to listen. He says anyone who does this here is going to bear much fruit because there's going to be witnessing. You're going to be a witness. And you're going to be a witness that you are his disciples. Remember when the disciples used to hang with Jesus, when they left the presence of the Lord, they'd say, those guys have been with Jesus. They knew. They knew. There was something about them. Why? They had boldness. They took dominion over their flesh. They spoke boldly. Signs and wonders followed them. Everybody got it? See, they had revelation. They didn't walk around with no Bible, you know. They had to have fellowship. See, you're still extending the Bible. You're a part of the epistle. Every one of you is a character in this word, continuing. The Bible, remember the word says that they couldn't, everything that Jesus did, they couldn't write enough books. See, you're the living epistle. But the devil doesn't want you to know that. You're chapter such and such in this Bible. You're extending this Bible as your witness and your testimony. How you act and what you do. Oh, hallelujah. He says, look, go to verse 16. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 16. Read it with me. He says what? You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Well, you want your fruit to remain, don't you? Right? Well, the devil has a tendency to steal fruit. That's his job. He's going to steal anything he can. Go to Luke 8, please. Luke chapter 8.
Is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords is he. What an awesome God he is. Oh, he called us and set us free.
Praise God. Is it getting warm in here? We said snow. We should get warm over here. Okay, Luke chapter 8, verse 4. Would you read it with me, please? And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. And he said, a sower went out to sow his seed. And he sowed, some fell on wayside, and it trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and a thorn sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop of 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, he who has an ear, let him hear. So, there's something really important about this. He's saying that there's the seed is associated with what you hear. There's a connection between the seed and hearing. Is everybody with me? The seed has something to do with what you hear. Good ground is tilled. It's taken care of. It's broken up. It's plowed. Okay? He said, and the one that fell on good ground, manifested 100-fold. So I had a good harvest or a lot of fruit. Seeds that eventually took root. And that's what God wants to do with me and you. Now you got to understand something. There are also corruptible seeds that have been imparted in us. One of the things we need to do is get rid of the corruptible seeds because they're interfering with the righteous seeds. Is everybody with me? You know, you may not even realize it, but if there's something that's constantly irritating you or tormenting you, that's a corruptible seed and it's got an associated spirit with it somewhere. It's something that you just can't shake. I don't understand. I can't get rid of it. I wake up with it every morning. I do this and whatever. You ever wake up with somebody's face in you? You know, you see a picture of somebody's face all the time. You know, you see something. God may be telling you to pray for that person, but he may be telling you to break that soul tie and get rid of that corruptible seed because it's hindering you. Or somebody hurt you or offended you, and when you get angry, you see somebody's face. Does everybody understand that? That means there's a corruptible seed in you. You need to sever it, break it, and loose yourself from it. All right? So we know that these seeds are associated with something you hear. There are three areas that the devil loves to do. Now, we just talked about three areas here. We talked about the seed that was on the wayside, right, that was trampled. The seed that fell on the rock, that withered. The seed that fell among thorns, that was choked. That's three of them. Well, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's talking about how what you hear is associated with the seed, and the devil's going to come and steal it. You know, people are, you know, this whole thing of once saved, always saved. Well, Jesus is the seed, the Word. Amen? When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the seed of God gets in you. Well, the Bible just tells us that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. People choose to give it up. They choose to give up salvation. They choose to. Well, when you choose to go run with the devil, you just chose to give up the seed. Amen? That's why people come back to the altar and say, Lord, forgive me. And accept the Lord back again. And the seed gets planted again. Does everybody understand that? Or sometimes that seed just gets choked and it's not able to grow or bear root in there. And that's why there's not enough fruits manifesting in an individual. They're still fleshly, still carnal. So they're not bearing fruits of the Spirit because the Spirit has not had access, or the individual is not allowing the Spirit to have access to every part of their life. Does everybody understand that? Praise God. Go to John 10. Hallelujah. John 10. Please turn the tape over. Hallelujah. John 10. And verse 10. Is everybody there? Come on, read it with me. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Praise be to God. Mark chapter 4. Mark 4 and 13. Hallelujah. Mark 4, 13. Mark 4, 13. Is everybody there? Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, when they what?
Hear.
Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These, likewise, are the ones sown on the stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on the ground, good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. These are the three wills of God. Is everybody with me? Those are the three wills of God. And in Romans 12, chapter 2, you will see the three wills of God. I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to tell you. There's the good, acceptable, and perfect. The good, acceptable, and perfect. And then, of course, there's the will of man, which is death. Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. Says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So you got to prove the will of God. How are you going to prove the will of God? By bearing good fruit. Oh, hallelujah. Two things determine in perfecting or increasing fruit. And it says, it told us right here, it said, two major things. Everything was hearing, wasn't it? And the other thing were cares. Two things that affect you for bearing more fruit and perfecting the fruit that you're bearing is what you hear and your cares. Those two things that will affect you. Is everybody with me? In Mark chapter 4. How you hear and how you care. Mark chapter 4, verse 21. And he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him what?
Hear.
And then he said to them, take heed what you hear. Say, take heed. Take heed what you hear. With the same measure, with the, come on, read this with me, verse 24. Take, verse 24. Then he said, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be what? Taken away. So there's something very important that he just said. He's talking about you and I must be responsible. Hear it, use it, or lose it. Hear it, use it, or lose it. 1 Peter chapter 1. Hear it, use it, or lose it. Do you ever notice you sit in the Bible, suddenly you get all the stuff, and you're going, yes, got it, got it, got it. You walk out 2 hours later, you get tempted. Hallelujah. We all been there. Praise God. Sometimes weekly. Sometimes daily. Learn from it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Would you read it with me, please? 1 Pete chapter 1, verse 22. Hallelujah. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but what? Incorruptible seed. Now you understand that. So, the powers of darkness impart corruptible seeds in us, don't they? It's that corruptible seed in us. Sometimes we got to get rid of some of these corruptible seeds. That's why we give people deliverance prayers, daily confessions, so they can make that confession and begin to get rid of some of these corruptible seeds so that a righteous seed can be planted. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Hallelujah. Corrupt seeds represent the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Must be removed. Righteous seed represent the tree of life. Let me give you an example. The devil loves to impart corruptible seeds into you. The world loves to label people. Hi. You're a little oppressed, no problem. Let's give you medication. We'll label you bipolar, tripolar, underpolar, no polar. Every polar there is. Name a polar. Take a polar. Amen? Whatever it is, schizophrenia, paranoia, oppression, and depression, addiction, all of these labels that the world imparts a corruptible seed, and people go, yeah, okay. Oh, give me something. I seek man for help. But I can quote the scriptures, but I'm going to still seek man. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all things will be added unto you. Stand fast. Your God is faithful to complete what he started in you, and it's the desires to give you the kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Labels. You'll never be mount to anything. Why can't you be like such and such? These are corruptible seeds that were imparted in you when you were born. Some of them were inherited. You understand that? Children who have been raped, a corruptible seed gets imparted in them. What do you mean? How? Because the spirit of rejection. Use corruptible seeds imparted in them. And these seeds are growing and bearing fruit because they're associated with spirits. They go, woe is me, all the time. Then they want to be somebody because they've been rejected and refused for so many years. They're willing to do anything. Even if it's committing a crime to be known on the newspaper. They want to be recognized because they've been rejected so long. Because of a corruptible seed that's been growing and growing and growing. Or a child that has a baby Huey syndrome. Always being rescued by mommy or daddy. That's a corruptible seed, man. That kid can never grow up until severed by mom and dad. I get a lot of people call me, well, my son's in jail. Praise God, leave him. What? We're willing to take out loans and everything. Man, leave the kid alone. You've been this problem. Wow. What kind of pastor are you? A wise one. Been there and done it. Glory to God. Wrong beliefs, traumas in people's lives. You know, we were brought up with traditions of men, fear of... think about the religious garbage that we were brought up with. Tongues, oh my God, it's the devil. No, you're the one that has the devil. It's called fear. Traditions of men, corruptible seeds. The word tells us in Mark 16:16, and those who believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. 16 through 18. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick. And they'll go recover. We're to be a sign and wonder, aren't we? Mark 16:16 through 18. Oh, hallelujah. Pride. Woo-wee. Personal reverence unto a deadly end. Pride. It's the strongest strong man there is. It's the only demon that was able to stand in the presence of God. God had to remove him personally. Oh, he's the prince. He's the strong man. That demon of pride protects every other demon that's in you. Do you ever notice that you want to protect yourself when somebody says something? Oh, you've been offended? That's it. Shoot off at the mouth. You invite every other spirit around. They come in and have a party. You wonder why you're a mess? Tormented. Hey, there's a party in this body and everybody's invited. Free admission, free rent. Stay as long as you want. Till somebody chooses to repent and get rid of them.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Pride, fear. All of those are labels that have been imparted in people from the time they were born. Some of them have been inherited through birth, through ancestral lines, family lines. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Whoa. First Timothy chapter 4. You got to remember, the secular world believes that if you're a heroin addict and you can get on methadone, you're recovered. And the methadone's harder than a kick than the heroin. Hey, let's just cross addict them. Yes, and we'll call it success. Why? Because the world is ruled by Satan.
Amen.
And you must come out from among them. Pride sits there and says, I know all this stuff. I don't need to take one note. I'll get it from such and such. Or maybe I'll get the tape. You got a prideful spirit. I don't know who I'm talking about yet. But you better repent. Because you're a stumbling block to your brethren. Hallelujah. 1 Peter, or 1 Timothy. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? Now the what? Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving what?
Heed.
Hello? To what? Deceiving spirits and what? Doctrines of demons. Well, to God be the glory. Now you know. Amen? I'll go to James 1. James chapter 1. Hallelujah. What two things are going to perfect your fruit or cause you to bear more fruit? You must know what you're hearing, how you hear, and how your cares are. We're going to get to the other part. James 1 and 21. Would you read it with me, please? James 1 and 21. Glory to God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and what? An overflow of what? Whoa, wait! In other words, it ain't just lay aside the weight, lay aside all the overflow of wickedness and receive with what?
Meekness.
Now, wait a minute. I want to back up. Anybody got a page number? 1072, brothers. Because I want everyone to see this. This is very, very important because it's associated with how you receive. How you receive. Do you ever get corrected and you don't want to hear it? It's called pride. Do you ever get corrected and you want to shoot back before they finish? It's called pride. It means you've got a corruptible seed there. And if you touch and agree with it, if you manifest it, that spirit is right there and he's getting fed. Shows up with a fork and a knife and big apron on and says, feed me. Then he shoots another dart to you and you get angry. You know, I'm really tired of this. And he's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Next thing you know, you're out in left field. Verse 21. Therefore what? Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. The word meekness means humble. A prideful or hardened heart cannot receive the word. Can't receive counsel, correction, and direction. I always tell people, you can't counsel a demon. The only thing you can do is cast it out. See, if you're in this room tonight and the devil's telling you, oh, I know this all. You have a hardened heart. The spirit is affecting you. And I know this. You're not receiving it in meekness. And you're looking at a man and you're not looking at the Lord has given it to you. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. It says, be doers of the word, not blabbermouths, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. There's a difference, isn't there? Oh, hallelujah. Go to James. I wish I could read my writing. James 5, I think. So, we talked about and how to be careful and how you hear, right? This is how we want to be able to bear more fruit. We want to be able to get this fruit perfected. We got to have discernment in how we hear. We've got to keep our, listen, how am I hearing this? Am I hearing this with, that must be for somebody else? It's not me. Well, you better take a look inside, because it's for everyone here. He must be speaking directly to me. Yes, he is. Verse 13. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. If any among any is any one cheerful, let him sing psalms. If any among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Praise God. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be what? Forgiven. Forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be what?
Healed.
That's a way of humbling yourself, isn't it? The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth what?
Much.
Praise be to God. So we got to understand something that, you know, we must confess our sins. It's a part of humbling. So as God's beginning to reveal things to you tonight, man, write them down and confess them. Get rid of it. What's he doing? He's exposing the corruptible seeds so that it can be removed from you. Amen? Don't take it personally. Hallelujah. Do not take it personally. Okay. Let's go to Psalm 11. Psalm 11. Is everybody all right? Good. Psalm chapter 11. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string. They may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. Oh, you're going to get shot at, man. That's why you got to have the full armor on. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the sons of men. We be tested, man. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence his soul hates. Upon the wicked He will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous, He loves righteousness, His countenance beholds the upright. That's how the tree of life is manifested in me and you, His countenance. I'll go back to James 3. I think it's James 3. Praise God. James chapter 3. So we must receive the word in meekness, right? We must be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. And we got to be careful in how we hear the word. We must also be careful of these cares. In verse 13 in James 3, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in what? Meekness of wisdom." So even your work should be done with meekness. Now here he's telling, he's going to expose some corruptible seeds. He says, "But if you have what? Bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what? Demonic." For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Hello? So we must do works in meekness and humbleness. Yes, Lord, I'm serving you. I'm laboring unto the Lord. Well, I deserve more money. Well, you got involved again. I think I'm worth more. Oh, you prideful little flesh creature. You need to repent. God gives what He wants to give, who, when, and where. Yeah, but no, there goes that but ministry. Remember, we're not the tail, we're the head. Let God be God and you be His children. Let Him run your life. Is everybody okay? Mark 4. Listen, when you hear incorrectly, those corruptible seeds, they have access to you. And you can't hear because of pride. Can't receive in meekness, it's hard to hear what God is saying. It stops the flow of the anointing. You can't receive anything, and Mr. Pride is getting bigger. In Mark chapter 4, glory. Man. Hallelujah. We're not going to get this one on an 80-minute or whatever. I'm running out of breath. Mark 4. Glory to God. Is everybody there? Verse 18. I want to redo this one more time. Now these are the seeds that were sown among thorns. They are the ones who what? Hear the word. Okay? And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. These cares are different. I want to explain something to you. The word here, expression of care, means trouble or burdened state of mind. A troubled or burdened state of mind. It's a different care. This is a care. It's not where somebody cares for you. This is a care where it's a burdened or troubled state of mind. Because there's a difference between care and responsibility. People confuse cares with responsibilities. Does everybody understand it? A responsibility is a state of accountability where an individual is given charge over a matter, known as an obligation. Does everybody got it? So there's a difference between responsibility and cares. These type of cares are what cause a trouble burden mind. It brings fear. It's unfruitful. And these things need to be changed. Now, go to Luke 8. Oh, it's good to hear the Bible's flying on a Tuesday night. So does everybody understand the difference between a care and a responsibility?
Amen.
Oh man, I got all these responsibilities. No, you got cares, man. Responsibilities aren't burdensome. Everybody got that? It's important. In Luke 8, verse 14. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with what? Cares, riches, and pleasures of life, bringing not what? No fruit to maturity. Now I want to explain something. This is when these things are involved, these cares are going to prevent fruit from coming to its perfection. They're going to prevent them from coming to its maturity so that you can bear more fruit. Cares of the world. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Excuse me if I'm moving fast. I'm trying to get this in. 1 Peter chapter 5. Get the tape. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5. Would you read verse something with me? Sure. Verse 6. Therefore what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may what? Exalt you in due time. Casting all your what? Care upon him, for he what? Now that's a different type of care. He's saying, man, cast me all those burdens and troubled things, that state of troubleness and confusion that you're carrying. It's a different care. He says, because I care for you. In other words, I love you. I love you. He's saying, cast your care. There's no love, but worry, fear, and torment in the cares. Does everybody understand that? Worry, fear, and torment in cares. Those are not responsibilities. They're unjustifiable cares associated with demonic activity of fear, worry, and torment. But it says, so cast your worries. They don't associate with love. He says, because he loves you. In other words, cast your cares upon him because he what? Cares for you. Those are two different types of cares. Has everybody got this? These are things that stop fruit from becoming perfected or maturing. Go to 1 John chapter 4. Is everybody getting this? Verse 18 and 19. The word says, there is no fear in love. Whoa! Everybody see the connection now? There's no fear in love. In other words, we're talking about two different cares, aren't we? Jesus said, cast your cares upon me. Cast those torments, those burdened and troubled mindsets. Cast those cares of fear and torment upon him because he cares. He loves you. Because he says, listen, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out what? All fear. Because fear involves what? Torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he what? First loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Praise God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, we just saw two things. The word cast. The first one we saw, cast your cares upon him. Then it says, perfect love casts out all fear. That means that you must fight. He said, cast your cares. See, you've got to fight. Cast your cares means you've got to do something different than that. You've got to cast those cares, and the perfect love casts out all fear. When you're walking in perfect love, you have the ability to cast out all fear. Everybody got it? There's another place where he says cast. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds and what? Casting down. There's another fight and authority. Arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So you've got to fight. Look at David, who fought against Goliath. You know, you think about what Goliath said. He said, hey, what's this wimp who come before me? I mean, you know, what are you coming with me with a slingshot? I mean, here's Goliath. He's 14 feet tall, you know, gazillion pounds, carrying this huge sword. He's saying all this stuff. I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds today. David said, you know what? You know what he did? He took heed of what he was hearing. Moved it right aside. He said, but I'm going to, because you know what? David had a care. He was somebody about five times bigger than him. He was representing all of Israel, but he was going in the name of the Lord. He said, listen, you come to me with swords, a big mouth, big body, shields, and all of this stuff. I come to you in the name of the Lord. And today, I will not only knock you down, but I'm going to take your head. And the Philistines will become our servants. See, he had to cast those cares out, didn't he? He had to be careful what he heard. But he stood before Goliath and kicked butt. In the name of the Lord. You know what happened to David? He got out of the way. Amen. His self was no longer self. He allowed the anointing come upon him that was when Samuel anointed him. He got out of the way and let the anointing flow. See, he got right in the spirit. He didn't have any fleshly, natural thing affect him. He didn't see Goliath as bigger than him. He saw Goliath, according to the eyes of the Lord, a dead man. Does everybody understand that? Hey, he was bearing some perfect fruit right then and there, wasn't he? And then when Goliath went down, I mean, he had a perfect shot right between the eyes, knocked him right out, killed him, and then he beheaded him. And he took his own sword. See, David didn't have a sword. He took Goliath's sword and killed him with his own sword. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. If you want to read more about Goliath, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Chapter 17, I mean. 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's David and Goliath. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. You got to fight just like David fought. You got to get in the spirit and fight. Those who are not in the battle become casualties. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Verse 18, verse 19. We know that we are of God. Does everybody know where I'm at? First John chapter 4, or First John chapter 5, I'm sorry, in verse 19. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the what? Sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true in his Son, Jesus Christ. That the true God, that this is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm going to close with this last scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Glory. In verse 16 through 18. And if you would please read it with me. Did everybody get this tonight?
Amen.
Praise God. You can explain it to me later. I better buy the tape, right? In verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Hallelujah! For our light affliction, yes, it's a light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Praise God. Let's start walking in the Spirit. Kick butt on the devil. Get rid of those corruptible seeds and fight for the righteous seeds, that you may become a tree of life. Be careful of what you hear and how you hear it. And be careful of those cares. Remember, cares are different than responsibilities. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We honor you and we bless you. We commit this to you. Lord, I apply the blood of Jesus and all of these seeds, righteous seeds that have been planted. I ask that you protect them and guide them and let them grow and bear fruit for your glory as I bless your people in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.